You've been taking lessons? Not necessary. It's hotkeys.
Here comes inspiration.
Welcome to Cartoon
Jesus
Tonic.
Christ. Every time.
Sexy hotel edition. That's what I like to call it. We are out of town. We are in Grand Rapids, Michigan.
Woo.
Joining me as always, the lovely Kayla.
Hi.
The lovely Josiah.
Hello.
And for the first time, a special guest, the loveliest, Patricia. How are you?
Aw.
She is the loveliest.
Aw.
Patricia is my wife. I have one of those.
Sorry, Trish.
Pretty cool.
Get a room.
So here's the thing.
We have one.
it's two doors down. If you hear come a knockin', don't come a knockin'.
What?
I don't think that's it.
I don't think that's the same, right?
I've already had a drink.
Disclaimer, we all have, except for Trish. But you probably need to know that before we start continuing with this cast.
Yes. Actually, by the time this episode comes out, we will have another child. So how's that going?
Yay.
Is it going all right?
It's going.
How is she? Is she good?
She's good.
Okay,
she's
cool.
She's good.
Developing?
She's moving pretty good right now. So.
Yeah.
Like literally right now?
Like right now, yeah.
She's like, don't put me on this stupid podcast.
Right?
This is her first podcast.
Aww.
And Daddy's been drinking.
Yay.
She's got to get used to that.
Speaking of drinking, why don't you tell us what we drank and then what we're about to drink?
Okay, so we drank some scotch at the bar, which Brian can tell us more about the specific scotch. But then also, I ordered a beverage that was supposed to have peach schnapps in it, and I can't pronounce the name of it. It's like St. Croix or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
And there was no peach schnapps, but he had already made half the beverage. So he gave me like this brown-looking gross beverage, and it had Crown Apple in it, and it was gross. But I was starting to drink it, and then he made me something called a liquid marijuana that he said is an off-menu thing, so we all kind of shared that. That was delicious, and that was to make up for
it was pretty good.
The craft drink. So what kind of scotch were we drinking?
We had Johnny Walker Blue Label.
It was very good. Very peaty.
It is very peaty. It's very good. It's like, I mean, around where we're from, it's like $200 a bottle. And he was doing like $10 pours, so I was like, hell yeah.
He definitely did not know the cost.
No, I don't think so.
Like $10?
Yeah, so I'm like, sure, and it was delicious. And what are we going to drink?
Okay, so I didn't think about it because I'm an asshole. We're in Grand Rapids recording. We're going to a Bayside show a little bit later, and I thought, hey, when in Grand Rapids, we should drink beer from Grand Rapids because it's like now Beer City USA or something like that.
Yes.
So we went to our local Kroger and I was like, you know what? I think Founders is from Grand Rapids. And I totally know about all the controversy right now about them shutting down Detroit Tap Room and all of that. But it just went out of my head for some reason. So we will be drinking a canceled beer, otherwise known as Dirty Bastard. It's a Scotch style ale from Founders.
Mm-hmm.
I feel a little bit conflicted about that right now. So that's what we'll probably be drinking while we're watching our show.
Here's what I'll say about it. We do not support Founders management and the way that they've handled the most recent two now controversies that they're dealing with.
Get your shit together, Founders.
But we do support beer makers and Founders employees, you know, like 1,000 people.
Right,
and
right.
We do support them. We just hope that the management gets their shit together. So
or they get fired.
Either way.
They can get their shit together somewhere else.
Something's got to give. But we are going to enjoy the beer, you know, just a little disclaimer off the top. So
I purchased this being a completely naive jerk.
It's completely fine. We'll fire you later. It's
great. Send me some sensitivity training and get me out of here.
But also, when we send you sensitivity training, just like, just sign my paperwork.
Because that's
what Founders did.
Get your shit together.
And Trish will be drinking water and Diet Mountain Dew.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yay.
Because,
Trish and Evie will be drinking water and Diet Mountain Dew.
Yes. Because even though when this releases, the baby will be here, currently in my wife's belly. So.
Evie, when you grow up and come back and listen to this, I apologize.
No, we're sorry. Kind of sorry. You know you're dead by now, so not as sorry.
It's not shocking to you.
Yeah.
Feeling personally attacked.
Surprise.
So today we are watching Dexter's Laboratory.
Yeah. I'm very excited about this.
Which was chosen by Trish, which is why we are doing it. But I also really, really enjoyed this show growing up. Mm-hmm. But Trish, since you are our very, very special, beautiful guest today, I'm just going to keep doing that because it makes you uncomfortable.
And you can't see it, but it does definitely make her uncomfortable.
But what is your history with Dexter's Lab, and why did you choose Dexter's Lab to be what we're watching today?
I just really enjoyed Dexter's Lab growing up. It's one cartoon that I can actually think of that I watched frequently. There aren't a lot of other ones that I stuck with for a very long time, but I probably watched all of Dexter's Lab. I don't remember much of it anymore.
But. Yeah.
It is kinda... Do you remember the Omelette du Fromage episode?
That's what everyone remembers.
Yeah. Slightly.
Slightly?
Slightly.
I feel like I specifically, like I learned it. Everybody learned it. Cheese omelette, you cannot forget it.
I can definitely see you being in that show because I don't want to shock anyone. Being that you're married to me, they might think that you're like a really like hip, cool person.
She is a hip, cool person.
But, you know, you were a little bit of a nerdy kid, and as was I, so, and I can see you being into that for sure. You also weren't like allowed to watch like a lot of cartoons, right? So was this one cool? Like this one was cool.
This was
approved?
Yeah, this was fine.
We all have our, families that, wouldn't let us watch certain things, but, I always remember Dexter's Lab kind of being a safe show,
So. Yeah, because it's pretty much just about a really smart kid who has, like, a sister who's destructive. That's kind of...
That's what I remember from it, too. It's, like, he was really into science, he had this lab, and his sister was hilarious and liked to destroy things.
Yeah. I loved it because I was super jealous of his lab.
Right?
Yes.
He had so many cool things.
We all wanted it. So, Dexter's Lab, American animated series created by... Gendy Tatskakorsky. I'm definitely not saying that right.
That's
you had such confidence in your voice.
Tatskakorsky. Tartakorsky. Tartakorsky.
Yes.
Yep.
That's the guy.
Yeah. Gendy is what we'll go with.
So this was actually a little bit surprising to me. I always remember Dexter's Lab being on and new episodes coming out, but it only had 4 seasons.
Really?
That was 78 episodes. Like, I could have swore that there was maybe double that.
Right. Although that might explain why I saw the Omelette du Fromage episode so many times.
That's yeah. Probably has something to do with it. But this is another segmented show, so it's no less than 2 segments. Usually it's 3. And they do their episode naming conventions really, really weird. So it's actually hard to find the particular episode that we watched today, because sometimes you look at it and it'll say... it's episode 2 and then number 128, but that's because it's segments. So
gotcha.
The best way for you guys to find it is it is the 32nd episode of season 2, and it is the 3 segments that is in that. And it starts with the episode called, or the segment called Dim, which the second that I saw that, I instantly remembered it.
I did not.
Dim doesn't sound familiar to me.
It was... he has a light bulb that goes out in the lab, and he's very sad that the light bulb went out, and he had to go to the grocery store with his mom, get a new light bulb, go back to the lab and replace it.
Is this the one where he shakes it, the noise, and there's not much else in the episode?
Yeah,
oh my god, like, that's the only reason I know why like light bulbs may or may not work.
That's
true. That just came up the other day.
So I do. I remember him, like, his mom's in the kitchen. He just shakes, and his mom like turns around like all serious.
Yeah.
Like that's I have. Like,
holy crap!
As soon as I saw Dim, I'm like, "Oh shit! I know that." And it just like all just came back to me. The second segment, though, just an old fashioned lab song, is the reason why you chose this, right?
Oh yeah.
So we later found out that it wasn't the case, but in this episode, there is a musical number that's performed by an individual that, growing up, you thought was Elton John.
Oh, yeah.
I did, too.
I think just about everybody did.
Yeah.
And you were a big fan of Elton John, so that makes a lot of sense. Also, one of the only people that I know under the age of 60 that has seen Elton John in concert. So that's pretty awesome.
Have you really? I'm kind of jealous of that.
Yeah. Wow.
Yes. just a few years ago, and he was still attempting to do handstands on his piano. So.
What?
Yeah, he wasn't so great at it.
No.
He tried.
No, he's a portly fellow now.
Yes.
So.
I pay to see that.
He's looking more and more like the Queen of England every day. Have you noticed
that?
He does.
Well, that's what happens when you're knighted.
He's the Queen of England?
Sure. Oh, look at you.
Those jokes, we've had a few drinks, guys.
You saw him in concert with...
Billy Joel.
Billy Joel.
Really?
Yeah.
Billy Joel still puts on quite the show.
I'm very jealous of this.
One of the rare instances where they weren't fighting each other. They managed to do concerts with one another.
They're on again, off again, BFFs.
Mm. Yeah.
Billy Joel's got a drinking problem.
I can see that.
Being that we're on the road here having some technical difficulties, I don't have like a ton of background information like we would normally have on these episodes. Kind of lost some stuff. My laptop just stopped working. It's this whole thing. But
we'll definitely hit another episode of Dexter's Lab.
Yeah.
What we're hoping to do with these special episodes is get extra voices on here. I'm sure that listening to us. Is going to be a little bit monotonous. Yep, you get it. So monotonous was the word I was looking for. So I think when this comes out, it'll be our first special episode towards the end of December, and I'm looking forward to that. So if we don't exactly have all of the extra information and those kinds of things that we'll be bringing to you, we're going to be doing Dexter's Lab again. So
And most of the shows that we do, we're going to be revisiting them for sure.
Yep.
What are your guys' history with the show? What is, besides I'm the Du Fromage, because that's
right.
Everyone's like first memory, what is some of like, you talk Dexter's Lab, what's the first thing that comes to mind besides cheese on what?
The first thing that comes to mind is the episode, and I couldn't even tell you the name of it, where it's a musical episode, and Dee Dee goes through and completely destroys Dexter's Lab.
Yes.
And I love that one very much because I have an older brother, and as much as he would terrorize my sister and I, we would reciprocate, and I just remember giggling hysterically at all the, oh, dear brother, I love you very much, oops, I guess I shouldn't touch, and she just destroys everything.
Yeah.
And that song, because I've got that weird thing with music, it's stuck in my head, even though I haven't seen Dexter's Lab in, like, forever. I'll just be looking like, oh, guess I shouldn't touch. And then the whole song starts playing
in
my head. Jeez,
you gave me a huge flashback just by saying
that.
Yeah.
So I remember thinking like, I could terrorize my brother that way. So
you destroyed all your brother's things?
His poor laboratory.
He's probably was used to it by that point. But yeah, there was definitely some sibling rivalry. We're siblings. That just happened. So... that's my favorite memory of it, is just watching it and plotting out ways that I could...
When I met your brother, he definitely does not have, like, a laboratory. Maybe a meth laboratory.
Oh.
Just kidding, bro. You know I love him.
I was going to say, all three of us have some intelligence. I am the least intelligent sibling, and that should say a lot for my brother and my sister.
Yeah, he's a programmer. He's smarter than all of us.
He's very, very smart. I just got a Snapchat from him the other day where he's just teaching himself violin for the heck of it. Like, it's pretty good. So, yeah, I just remember watching Dexter's Lab, seeing Dee Dee destroy the lab, being jealous of her ballet skills because I did take ballet when I was younger, which might be a shock to people who know that I'm an extreme klutz.
Jeez.
Yeah, I'm really bad at it. And just thinking, hey, I could destroy things. That would be fun. Zaya, what about you? What kind of memories do you have?
I was super jealous of his lab. So I had like, when I was a little kid, I was very much like a wannabe inventor. And I remember doing stupid crap. Like one time I drilled a bunch of holes into one of my dad's like expensive watches. Cause I was going to make it into like a communicator watch. I didn't get as far and I got yelled at.
Well, yeah.
Drilled a bunch of holes into his watch.
If he would have let me finish, it would have been real cool. But...
Wait, what was your goal? What were the holes for? I have a lot of questions.
Yeah, I mean, we were going to talk through it. It was going to be cool.
It was like an iPhone watch, whatever they're called, but before it's time.
My parents were like super supportive of random crap like that I did, but the biggest deal about that was it was borrowed from his boss.
Oh, no.
So he then had to like go to him and be like, hey, my stupid kid drilled a bunch of holes into it.
I mean, that's something I can see Mark doing. I'm a little disappointed in you.
But yeah, I like to think that Dexter's Lab was an inspiration for a lot of stupid inventions like that. And
destroying watches.
The one episode that really comes to mind that I remember is the dodgeball episode where he keeps getting beat in dodgeball, so he makes this like huge like mech robot or whatever that just launches him out of his hands, and it
like that the you can't see because it's a podcast.
Yeah, so it's
the,
like Goku style, just like shooting him out.
I remember that. So did you ever make a dodgeball chucking device after watching that episode?
I never got that far. No.
No. Well,
what
about you, Brad? What do you remember?
I was the same way. I really loved science growing up. Like that was my thing as a super hip kid that I was.
Of course.
So I really 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 enjoyed that. I remember like their kind of like knockoff of like the Avengers that they had like in between episodes, like the short little skits.
Oh, what was that even called?
Justice League. I believe.
The what?
Was it Justice League?
Justice League is the thing though.
So. Right, I know, but maybe not.
It had to be something else.
Yeah. But there was like Thor, who was more like a rock star like kind of guy.
Yeah.
And then the Hulk was like purple, I remember that.
Yeah.
We'll have to look some of that up later. But you know, I just remembered really, really enjoying the show. There's a lot of little moments from that stick out to me. I do have a little bit of information on here, and I did not know this, but the Justice Friends. Dexter's Lab actually helped launch the career of Seth MacFarlane. He was an animator on Dexter's Lab. Yeah, which is crazy.
Holy crap.
And Rob Paulsen, who a famous voice actor, mm-hmm. Was in the show, as well as Tom Kenny, who is SpongeBob. The main voice of Dexter, Christine Cavanaugh, was a female voice. Usually when it's young male characters, they tend to be voiced by females. And when the show was picked back up, it was kind of like canceled for a little bit, and they brought it back in a weird like cel-shaded style that didn't last very long. I don't know if you guys remember that.
I don't have memories of that.
It was different. She was no longer involved in the series, so his voice had changed because she actually passed away, which doesn't happen super often in cartoons, especially ones that we watched as kids because it wasn't that long ago.
It was a little bit long ago, Brian.
Yeah, well, you know. So Dexter's Lab was one of those things that... has something called recurring segments. Those mm-hmm. are those things that are even in between those segments. So there's even more segments. So here's a couple of them. Dial M for Monkey. Do you guys remember that?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh. Huge flashback. Holy crap. I'm not inebriated enough for this.
I remember the Justice Friends doing like commercials for stuff too. Like, what was it, like cereal bars or something?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So the Dial M for Monkey was a superhero monkey who had telekinesis, flight, and super speed capabilities that would pop up in between episodes. Then, of course, the Justice Friends, a spoof of Captain America, Thor, with the personality of Eddie Van Halen, so that tracks, who was voiced by Tom Kenny, and the Infraggable Crunk, a spoof of the Incredible Hulk.
Infraggable.
And then there was even more mini segments that was in between the main segments, which was which sometimes featured Puppet Pals, which were live action segments of puppets, which was voiced by Rob Paulsen and Tom Kenny. So this show is, the segments were very, very short, because I think like even like the regular segments were shorter because they wanted to put those cool little segments in between, which were like television commercials with the Justice Friends and the Dial M for Monkey, and I think the rest I will say for our last segment. So is there anything else that we want to cover before we watch I already forgot the episode.
Dexter's Lab,
episode 32 of season 2.
Trish, are you expecting that this will ruin your childhood?
Oh no,
she's just confident.
So.
Yeah.
Will it ruin our child's childhood?
I don't think she'll remember.
Or is it just going to happen naturally with us being her parents?
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, that's probably more likely.
Is this a series that you would want your kids to watch? Or do you want to answer that after we actually watch this episode
again? In my head, it seems perfectly fine. I guess we will find out.
It does seem pretty tame, doesn't it?
Yeah,
like just basically. Now, there are a couple controversial episodes, which I will bring up in the final segment. Go over that. So,
all right.
So, please join us after this quick commercial break.
Hello.
Are you aware of all the wonderful things that cable has to offer you folks?
Uh huh.
The entertainment programs, the children's programs, sports, cooking shows, the whole spectrum of entertainment.
That's nice.
Welcome back. If we keep going the way we're going, where every episode I'm drunker than the last, I will be dead in like 3 months.
Yeah, build up your tolerance there, Ryan.
Whew, I'm working on it. So, we just finished watching an episode of Dexter's Lab. That was, without a doubt, the most amount of nostalgia hit I've had since we started this podcast.
Yeah, I agree. That was like
that was awesome.
Out of left field. Remembering things, it was great.
You guys, you definitely like came up with stuff before it actually showed on the screen, and I was like, holy crap, that is
good. Yeah, as we were watching it, it was like, oh, and then this happened, this happens. Like, it just, as soon as I saw the animation and I heard like maybe the little background music, it just instantly flooded back to me, and I remember vivid details of this show. So that was the first time since we started this that was the case of just getting just smacked in the face with nostalgia, which was pretty cool. I really enjoyed that. So this episode had three segments with one mini segment, like mm-hmm. we talked about in the beginning. Can we talk about that mini segment first?
Yeah,
we'll start with that one.
That has the risque magazine that he goes to the bottom of the ocean to drop the centerfold.
It's maybe like what, 20 seconds, maybe. Like
maybe
it, yeah. he like Dexter flies up to his mailbox in like a little like hover cart. And he goes, it's here! And he grabs a magazine, and he goes into his lab, and he gets into a submarine and just goes to, like, the bottom of an ocean that's in his lab somehow. And then he's, like, in a squat position.
Yeah! Like a defensive squat position, like, layering around his submarine.
And he's holding this magazine, and he's, like, kind of, like, glancing around, and he opens it, and it's a centerfold picture. And, like, and his eyes get all big.
Sweet mom.
Well, before we get to that part, I was like, what is it, like a porno bag? Like, what is this? And it actually drops out like a centerfold.
That's exactly what they did with it. And then he whistles like, whoosh, like, yeah. Oh my. And then it shows and it's just a wrench.
And it was a new tool magazine from the
definitely
tool
some
shop.
Tool implications
wait,
there.
Yeah. Magazine.
I've seen, maybe, I don't know. I've seen this episode a lot when I was a kid. Never once did I pick up that anything was strange about them. Like, oh yeah, that tracks. He's a scientist and he's excited over a wrench.
Right. Like, huh. New
he likes,
science magazine.
He likes
that
wrenches.
That is cool.
Yeah.
He likes wrenches.
And that was it. It was like 20, 25 seconds, maybe. Like, it's just super quick, but super, super, super funny.
I feel like a lot of the cartoons that we watched as a kid had to put that kind of tongue-in-cheek adult humor in. I mean, I imagine that they do that now with you guys watching cartoons with Libby, that, like, there has to be some nods for the parents. Otherwise, it's just nonsense that will be turned off.
I think I talk about it, like, every episode, but Gumball, like, is a show that I love watching with Olivia because it has those weird, twisted, kind of dark, like, over-the-kids-heads, but made for the adult-type humor in there. And
did they ever poke fun at, like dirty stuff like that or hint at it?
Nothing that's coming to the top of my head, but I feel pretty strongly that they definitely do that.
I notice a lot of like pop culture references.
Yes, definitely
in modern cartoons.
Yep.
For adults.
Yeah,
probably shifted to that. Otherwise, you're just gonna like turn it off, right? Like you can't only watch something that's not for you so many times before you just want to scream. So
like Olivia loves trolls, and they have that whole episode that's just D&D.
Yes.
Yeah, we're totally like, down to watch that episode.
Yeah, it's pretty funny.
So the very first segment is Dim, which we talked about a little bit on the top of the episode. It is 100% how I remember it, which is probably the first time that's happened since we've started recording. Yeah. A light bulb burns out in the lab. There's no speaking, which that happened in the SpongeBob episode too. One of the segments. I love that. That is such a really, really fun way of doing this episode. And also, it's kind of ballsy of a cartoon maker to make a children's cartoon without any dialogue in it. And for it to be that memorable was just
really cool, like, sound effects with everything that was going on. And it really, like, immersed you in it.
He was so sad that light bulb burned out.
Oh, my goodness. I already have an empathy problem, but he's like carrying the light bulb in the vehicle with like such sadness that his mom almost commits murder to try and comfort him. I can't do it.
We're watching it and she's like, she looks over at Dexter who's sad about his light bulb And she's just staring at him. I'm like, she hasn't looked in her bathrobe in a really long time. And
right when you mention that, it shows a baby on the side of the road playing with the bouncy ball and then walks into the road.
Yeah.
It was almost going to be the second time we saw a child die while doing this podcast. The first dark part about it was he walks into the kitchen to see his mom, and she's cooking dinner, and she just chops the head off of a chicken, and it just flies in the air and lands on the floor next to Dexter.
But there was actual blood.
Yes,
on
there
the
was
knife.
Actual
I don't know if you guys
blood.
Called that, but
yeah,
like real cartoon.
Yeah, that's true.
Real cartoon blood.
Real blood
on the knife.
It made a like really cartoony sound as it
splat. A lot of like intense music, like the whole thing was like him going into the hardware store to find a light bulb and going through the aisles, and this really intense music is playing. He's about to like go crazy, but then he actually finds the light bulb. Because
he's got a time limit. He's got a 5-minute
time limit.
Yeah, which I want to point out that Dexter's Lab accomplished in like 20 seconds, but I'm pretty sure there's a show called 24 that needed like 7 seasons to get through 24 hours. So get your crap together, 24.
Also, Dexter didn't age at all. We're in 24. Everyone aged.
That's a hard 24 hours, Brian.
Lots of stress.
Yeah.
Mr. President. I'm like, oh my God, you are so old now.
For the 90th time, there's a problem.
The music is just intense.
The music is amazing. It's like full orchestra, which is a lot of fun.
It definitely keeps your attention. I imagine as a kid that it probably did the same.
Which makes a lot of sense because at the end of the episode, we notice it's a Hanna-Barbera cartoon. And they are just known for music.
Yeah.
Like, they always have, you know, four orchestras in it. So he finally gets his light bulb. There's one more intense moment where he goes to the checkout line, but there's like a lot of people there, and he's like, oh no, my time's run out. But then a lane opens up and he goes there.
Granny with a chainsaw.
Yeah, a grandma had a chainsaw at a hardware store.
Which maybe she's doing some head trimming, we don't know, but it could just be a dark spinoff.
Maybe she's disposing of grandpa, we don't know.
Mm.
So he goes and he checks out. The light bulb costs $1 exactly. Kayla pointed out he did not have to pay tax on it.
So it's got to be in a state where they don't have tax on stuff like that. So.
Is there a state where they don't have sales tax?
Yeah.
Maybe
be.
The light bulb actually costs 94 cents.
Trisha, thank God you're here.
You're so smart.
So he buys his light bulb. He one more panicky moment, he gets home and or he gets out into the parking lot and his mom's not there. But then she pulls up, just instantly.
Yeah. But I liked how they portrayed that moment, because it was like time stopped. Everything started spinning around him. And like it was a really good like kid moment. Yeah.
We've all
like,
had that moment
right,
when we were
like,
kids.
I just
there's
have a
mom.
Yeah. I left the grocery store, and now I live here.
Olivia
like,
does
just,
that in our own house.
Does she?
When Trish goes to the bathroom. So
I kept misremembering it, thinking that he was going to break the light bulb like right away.
There's got to be an episode where a light bulb or something, I mean, smashes and breaks.
Yeah, probably.
I mean, Dexter's lab is just rife with destruction.
Oh, yeah.
So.
Because Dee Dee blows his experiments to smithereens.
All of them.
As we've learned. So he gets home, he gets into his lab, he puts his new bulb in, he's very happy about it. And then he gets back on, he uses it like a little hovercraft to go around everywhere, which the hovercraft makes the noise of the
Jetson
hovercrafts,
yeah.
Which is beautiful, because it's a Hanna-Barbera cartoon, right? So that's brilliant. I really love those little nods. He gets back to the ground, and this is the one speaking line. Dee Dee's in there, and he goes, you know the rest are going to burn out now. And he goes, I know, and then they all go out.
Yeah, he says, I know, and he breaks the fourth wall, stares at the camera, frowns, and then the lights go out.
Yeah.
Like you know these terrible things are going to happen. There's nothing you can do about it, little brother. Like,
I know.
And then that was the end of that segment. It was
beautiful.
So
well
done,
yeah.
From like just very, very well done.
Watch Dexter's Lab.
We have a whole segment on that. Do
I
not
know,
jump the gun.
I'm throwing it in there now.
We cannot like get of course in.
Oh yeah, we can never break format. We've never done that before.
We have not done that every episode. Wait, maybe that is our format. We just constantly break format.
I'm gonna give this 12 toddies.
I'm giving the 6 light bulbs and 2 wing wings.
Where did you get a hot toddy? So the next segment was the reason why Trish picked this episode. Just an old-fashioned lab song.
That's the name of the episode?
That's the name of the segment.
How does that go, Brian?
We'll get to that in a minute.
Oh, I was really wanting to see it.
So the title card, when it pops up on the screen that says the name of the episode, it plays that little piano melody. The second that piano melody hit, I was like, I remember this episode.
Yeah.
The second it started playing.
Yeah, absolutely. What about you, Trish? Was it like as soon as you heard it, it was like, oh, hey, this is...
Parts of it.
Yeah.
Parts of it. There were still parts of it that I didn't even almost recall.
The whole taking piano lessons, I didn't remember that part, but I remember the music teacher going into the lab and hearing the lights and like, you made a perfect arpeggio, and then they start playing music together. And then, like, through the magic of editing, you can throw it in there. I'm like, oh my god, this song. When your music meets your science.
Oh my god.
Holy crap.
The second that melody popped up, I remembered that first verse of the song.
You brought me to that nostalgic point before the actual cartoon, because as soon as you said that, I'm like, holy shit, yeah. I remember.
That in itself, that piano melody is what did it for me. It just, that was that smack in the face of nostalgia that, for the first time doing this, made me a little bit sad feeling.
Yeah.
Like, because I have fond memories of the show, and it's just kind of like brought it all like flooding back, and I'm slowly starting to remember more episodes that I really, really loved when I was younger.
Mm-hmm.
So this particular segment, Dexter's parents are making him take piano lessons, which
because
he...
you spent too much time in your room.
Doing God knows what.
Right. Did she actually say God
she
knows
did,
what?
She did say that.
Holy crap.
I love what the dad says, dude. Just like... like, you think we don't know what's best for you. The thing is, we do.
Yeah. Which, like, watching as a kid, obviously, I'm like, they don't know what's best for Dexter. But now that I'm a parent, I'm like, yeah, that's a conversation I'm definitely going to have with my child. Probably, oh, I think I've already had that conversation with Olivia.
You probably already have. Can we talk about the popsicle? And
listen,
Olivia, and
you don't need to have a popsicle at 8 in the morning. I know what's best for you. Or... no, Olivia, you don't need to eat more French fries. When you do, you throw up every single time.
Your daughter pukes so much.
What's funny is being
she
an adult...
she gets it from her father.
She does. I have a problem. Give me another beer. watching it as a kid and like being an adult, it's like I would have never paid any attention to that line as a kid.
Yeah.
But as an adult, that line was super funny. I think we all laughed out loud at that line. Would have never laughed at that as a kid.
I'm like, no, Dad, you don't know. Let him go to his lab.
You tell him, Dexter.
Yeah. So Dexter goes, well, you didn't make Dee Dee take piano lessons. Oh, on the contrary, she took lessons. She's your...
like, she's just banging on the keyboard.
Which Kayla responded with...
what I can relate to that. Because the dad goes, listen to that beautiful music. And like, I remember learning, like, whether it was bass or guitar or messing around on the keyboard, or if it was my sister Jenna, like, learning music, no matter how terrible it was, my mom and my dad would always be like, you're learning, which is the silver lining to the, will you please just stop.
My parents never did that. They listened to, like, me playing, like, screamo music. They're like, do you think you can learn some Zeppelin or something?
My parents' compliment was, well, look at you.
It's like the bless your heart. Look at you go.
They still do that to you. So the music teacher shows up, who does look like Elton John. I will give you that.
Mm-hmm.
He's actually based off of Paul Williams, who is an actual like music professor. So I guess that's...
hmm.
Who it's supposed to be based off. But it, for all intents and purposes, it's a little Elton John. It really is.
Especially when the big white grand piano comes out.
Yes.
Right? It's like, come on.
Yes.
It's Elton John.
So he starts giving Dexter, like, the lesson literally lasts like 2 seconds. How to play a C.
Mm-hmm.
And Dexter hits the C and it's still like sharp somehow, even though he just hits a C key.
He just hits it really hard.
Then he has him do like a basic like chord, like an arpeggio. And then Dexter, like, practices it for what appears to be a year because the seasons
snow
change.
And rain.
Yeah.
And it's dark and it's light and there's spring. And, like, I don't know, it must have been, like, a weird week for that region where they don't have sales tax. But
He has, like, what ends up being a nightmare where he's practicing the arpeggio. And, like, it's a really, like, dark sequence where he's running on the keys and the music teacher's playing it, trying to hit him with the hammers.
And out of
that, running on the professor's teeth, it was really dark and had some crazy music playing underneath it. So Dexter decides to quit. So then when the music teacher shows up the next day, Dexter's in his lab and he hears the music playing in the lab, so he makes his way in there.
And also, it says height recognition made, because the character is a very short character.
It's like the same height as Dexter, and then they did a classic mirror sequence, and when they first meet each other, when he opens the door,
he waves his hand and all that.
I love that. That was great. So he makes his way in the lab, and you know, he's like, Dexter, you can't quit or whatever, and he's like, I'm not good at music. He's like, oh, but you are, and there's a piece of machinery there with lights that are blinking that plays an arpeggio.
Mm-hmm.
And I remembered that before it popped up. I just had that memory. It just instantly came back to me. So then, like, after he recognized that it is an arpeggio, the music teacher, like, gets in a crouching stance and he's shaking.
Yeah, he's so excited.
Like the music was taking him over.
And it's like, I got some inspiration. And then he starts playing the song, which we're going to link you to the song, because the song's incredible.
I'll play like the first verse of it or something on here.
It's gonna be stuck in my head forever now.
Even though we're going to a concert directly after this recording, it's gonna be in my head forever.
The concert means nothing. I'm going to remember that.
So they play that amazing song together, and it makes it appear that Dexter learned his lesson, that music is awesome, and the second the professor leaves, he takes his wrench and breaks that piece of machinery that's playing the arpeggio. And he goes, that's enough of that. Or think Einstein, that he's gone, or whatever he says. And that's the end of that segment. That was the most amount of frickin' nostalgia that I've had in a very, very long time.
It was like, it was very much in your face. Hey, remember when you saw this for the first time? Like, it just, I don't know if it was music, because they say that, like, you can remember that longer, that sticks in your head longer, or what it was, but it was nostalgia on 10.
Yeah, absolutely. And I just love the fact, Trish, that you, as a little kid, who also loved Elton John, was like, that's Elton John.
Yeah.
And that like, makes a lot of sense. It looks like him, and he plays the piano, and, mm-hmm. you know.
He's got the colored glasses, and he all does. That, and,
so, like, I can totally see, like, after all these years, that is still just ingrained in your memory.
It's Elton John.
Because I wasn't...
Not Professor Williams.
Get out of here with that.
Elton John, damn it.
I wasn't super aware of Elton John when I was that age, but I still have such a fond memory of this episode. For you, being such a big fan of Elton John and the show, like, it totally makes sense why this stuck with you all these years. That was a really cool experience watching that.
It was a great episode.
So then there's that little mini segment that we already talked about. I just had to get that away because that was incredible.
With the wrench portomag?
Yes. His, like, shifty eyes, too, was just...
Well, he was in that weird crouching position in the corner. Like, what are you doing?
Well, he, like, his eyes widened and then he was like, oh, sweet mama, or something like that.
Oh, yeah. Oh, sweet mama. I don't know. I sound like Saboba from Star Wars. Annie!
It's either Saboba from Star Wars or Adam Sandler.
That's the only impression I know how to do. Okay, so after that, it was the last segment, The Electrician, which it came back to me like a little bit as the episode was going. Dexter's mom goes to plug in an appliance. It causes a spark. She calls an electrician, which sends Dexter to, like, code yellow because, you know, there's an electrician in the house. Electrician, who Trish pointed out, looks like Mario.
Right.
Is working on the house, and he just starts, like, he finds the power cable that goes to Dexter's lab, which is hidden in the house. The parents don't know about it.
Well, Dexter also sends this fly spy robot.
Yes.
And I remember, like, there's a lot of occurrences in these cartoons as a kid where they use a fly. I'm sure it's based off, if I could be a fly on the wall.
Yeah.
But, like, this particular fly had a jetpack for some reason. It wasn't jet-powered.
They show this startup sequence that's hardcore. Like, the fly's coming online, flames are coming out of this, and it, like, goes out the chute, and it, like, shoots out, and then it actually shows it next to Dexter. It's a little tiny fly. So it goes out to investigate the electrician, and he smashes it and kills it. Dexter's not too concerned about it, but he finds the cable that goes to the lab, and he starts following it. But how he starts following it is he just starts ripping out of the wall and just destroys the house to get to the lab.
And Dexter goes, I need to go talk to my advisor. Mommy. Which is amazing.
So the electrician goes into the lab, starts working on one of Dexter's machinery, and he's throwing a fit. Well, you can't be in here. Don't touch that. But the electrician ends up, like, making it more stable and working properly. It's at, like, 100% efficiency.
Yeah, he starts fixing.
Yeah.
So Dexter just allows him to go through the lab and fix everything. Like, all of his machines, his robots. It shows the electrician, like, pulling on some wires for a robot, but then, like, cutting them. And it's like a hairdo for the robot. Yeah. It's really cute.
Robot is satisfied with his hairdo.
Exactly. The robot was very happy. Yes. He was a very happy robot. And as you all know, I love robots, so... So the guy fixes everything. Dexter's happy, says goodbye to him, and he goes back to the mom and gives her a bill. And she goes, oh, let's see here, $40,000. That's all of the work that he did in the lab. This is really cute. Now, your favorite part of this episode, I think all of our favorite parts of it, was the dad.
Well, this particular segment, because like when Dexter's mom goes to call the electrician for the first time, so I need to get an expert in here, and the dad, and I can't imitate the sound, but it's a sound where like the character doesn't walk, but they slide into a situation, and he is like in shorts for some reason, and like has all of these tools and is like Superman posing. He's really excited to be the specialist that's coming in, and she goes, no, not you, dear. And it was just so dismissive.
And it does the same, like the sound, like doo-doo-doo-doo. Like
yeah,
the guy, like,
just
and it happened three times, because when Dexter, like, goes to talk to his advisor, which is his mom, she goes, oh, I hired an expert to go look at it. And then the dad pops out of the ceiling.
Yeah, like Spider-Man drops out of the ceiling. Not you, dear.
The most twisted one, though, was at the end where she's like, oh, I'll have to talk to my husband about this. And then he pops up again. And she's like,
no, honey, not you.
Yeah, and we're all like, does that mean she's got another husband? It was weird.
Yeah, there's a lot of questions.
Lots of questions.
And then she just accepts the fact that it costs $40,000 and starts paying him in quarters.
I thought it was pennies.
Maybe pennies.
So
it was
like pennies.
She's a penny.
Two, three.
Out of her tiny little coin purse.
Yeah.
That was a lot of fun. That
was a lot of fun.
It's hard for them to, you know, follow up to the music one.
Mm-hmm.
But that was really nice. That was a lot of fun.
I like with these segmented episodes especially, you get the feeling that the creators actually cared about, like, what was going on in the storylines of it, because they like, oh, it's a short. You get to give more attention. You get to give more passion into the small amount of time that you have.
Yeah.
So I think that comes across in our early SpongeBob episodes, and it comes across especially in Dexter, where you might have like 5, maybe 10 minutes to come across this entire story, but they do it so well, and it's so memorable that
it's
even like
expert.
20 years plus later, I'm like, oh, I still remember that. That's crazy.
And being an adult and watching it, and knowing that it was made by Hanna-Barbera, you can just see that influence in it with the music and the animation and the way they tell their stories. And it was just really well done. They do a really good job of telling you the story without telling it to you.
Yeah.
They show it to you.
Right.
They with the music and with like setting the mood. And it's so well done. It's making me a little bit sad. Like,
yeah.
I want to go through and watch every episode of it now.
That's like Trish and I recently went to go see one of the redos of those Disney movies. And after, we were like kind of evaluating the movie. And it just seems like with a lot of new cartoons, they really like expositionally or like out in the open say, I'm feeling this emotion. But like, especially SpongeBob with no sound or no dialogue, and Dexter with no dialogue, like, it really goes to show, like, back when we were kids in the cartoons and all that, like, they did a really good job of portraying those emotions without spelling them out for kids.
Exactly.
And I love that about these episodes. But speaking of watching these episodes and all that, where did you find this particular episode to be able to watch it in case listeners want to watch it?
So as far as I can tell, you can only, like, purchase these episodes. So I actually bought this through YouTube.
Okay.
For, like, $2. I do think that there's a Nickelodeon streaming app this is, or Cartoon Network streaming app that this is on. Being that we were going to a hotel with shoddy internet, I just decided to purchase it just to be safe. But I highly recommend trying to find it. It's really good. It holds up. I think it holds up.
Yeah.
I'm also a little drunk, so I don't know.
Oh, we'll get to that.
It's really hard to explain like the quality of it, being that it is pretty old at this point. It still looks great. It sounds great. It's just the whole package. I loved every second of it. And again, just watching the intro.
Yeah, the music.
All
of
these episodes
intro.
Started coming back to me and things that I remember about it. So I'm another one of these things I'm just going to have to go through and watch a bunch. Mm-hmm. But we will review it in our next segment.
Yep.
Is there anything else about this particular episode that we missed or didn't cover, or anything that you guys want to say before we move on?
Not particularly. The only thing I can think of is I want to say thank you to our guest Trish for picking this particular
episode. This was amazing.
This wasn't even really, I mean, it was on the radar, it was on the list, but it wasn't towards the top. I'm very, very, very happy that it was one that you wanted to watch and then we could bring to the show sooner rather than later.
Yes.
Really good. So,
this changed me as a man.
Whoa.
Your husband has changed after watching this episode as an adult.
This is
process those feelings.
It's a weird line that we walk in our life, but you understand and expect it, so it's fine. Okay, well, after these commercial breaks, we will come back and give our review, and we're going to play a little game. So we'll be right back.
You don't want those marbles right off. So pick a stick, but don't let them fall. Because if it goes kerplunk, you're sunk.
Kerplunk from Tyco.
Welcome back. The things that we have to cut out to make this podcast work is incredible.
It's mostly me. It's just going to throw that out there.
I'm leaving it all in today.
It's special. We can do that.
If you would ask anyone, like, hey, who do you think disrupts the podcast the most? They're going to be like, yeah, Brian, for sure.
Yeah, no, then it would secondly be Saya, and then third, our guest, and then it would be me, Brian, the problem.
You are a problem, child.
I am the problem.
I respect it.
Thanks.
You know?
Thanks.
Damn it, Trish.
Okay, so as we do on this show, we like to do a little bit of like a review, where we give our like kind of final thoughts and opinions on it, and then we say how many drinks we need to take to enjoy this show. On a scale from 0 to 5, it's golf rules, the lowest number, the best.
Mm-hmm.
That is what we are doing. So today, let's start with Josiah. Give you a little bit of a review on how many drinks you require to enjoy the show.
I would just give it one. I really enjoyed it. I know the nostalgia kind of messed with you a little bit.
For sure.
But for sure, like the little things like the song and whatnot hit me in like a really like positive manner, and I dug it a lot. And I was like, oh my god, I can't believe like I forgot about this. The song in particular like was the most standout moment.
Absolutely.
In this, it's definitely one that's going to be stuck in my head for a long time now.
It already is.
I thought it was fantastic, though.
Perfect. Kayla?
I resent the fact that we have to do drinks and would prefer to rate this in light bulbs, but I will follow the procedure that you've laid out.
Sad, broken light bulbs.
Sad, broken light bulbs.
I'll let you do two ratings, okay?
Thank you. So I really enjoyed this episode all three of the segments that we had. And I think the standout point for me is and probably will always be Dee Dee.
Yes.
Because she's very much, while she's like optimism and realism, she has those like weird, just off the wall, like comedic bits. And
this was a very Dee Dee light episode too.
I absolutely love her character. As a kid, I was like, oh, that stupid Dee Dee. I kind of relate to her. She's ruining things, but I don't like her. Now, as an adult, I'm like, Dee Dee, yes.
In the music segment, she acted like a coat rack.
She did. She literally just stood there with her arms.
That was my favorite part of her section, though.
Good. We were just laughing like ridiculously at just that small part.
He walks in, the music instructor walks in, sets his like coat and hat on Dee Dee,
and
then
move.
Finishes the music lesson, comes back out, and then grabs him off of her.
She's still there. And I don't know, I really liked her character. But as far as rating goes, I think it's a little bit difficult because you're right, this one had a much more of a stronger nostalgic impact than I think any of the episodes or any of the cartoons that we've watched thus far have. So, like, I think I could sit down and watch them, honestly, with 0 or 1 beverages, but
if it was more than one or two episodes at a time, I think I might need corresponding drinks.
That's a good point.
The more that I watch it, the more that I drink it. Not because it's a bad cartoon or that it doesn't stand up or hold up to the years that have passed or whatever, but because that was like some harsh nostalgia coming in and just like, hey, remember this? Yes, you do. Like, it was just like intense. So breaking it down, all of that long-winded way to say, if it's one or two episodes, I don't even think that you need a drink to enjoy it, especially if there's musical numbers involved.
Oh, yeah.
As you get to three or four, you might need five or six light bulbs just to cope.
Excellent. Glad you got there.
Yeah, I got there.
My wonderful wife, my muse, Patricia, who brought this episode to us, how many prenatals do you need to take to enjoy this episode?
Prenatals aren't particularly tasty or so, I mean, none. I mean, right now, two per day. But I mean, the episodes are a lot shorter than I remember, but when you're a kid, I guess, you know, everything.
I remember it being longer.
Like, I remember sitting there watching Dexter, and I remember each episode just being longer.
Yeah.
No, they're like 8 minutes long each segment. Yeah. But, I mean, I still really enjoyed it.
Is it everything that you remember?
I think I would have to watch more episodes to judge that.
And we will.
And we will. We'll watch them with Olivia and see if it holds up, yes. I suppose, for
what about
small
that
children.
Nostalgic factor. Did you have any of that bittersweet, kind of heavy feeling with watching the episode, or was it just kind of nice to watch?
It was nice to watch. I think the musical episode was a little bit nostalgic for me, but it was nostalgic when I thought of it originally, too.
Right.
Yeah.
Like, when it came to mind, I was like, yeah, I remember that.
You remembered it before we actually went to watch the episode, right?
Right. I didn't remember much of the details of it. I just remember that episode in particular being, like, when I thought of Dexter's Lab, that's the episode that came to mind. Yeah, so.
So, zero prenatals?
Sure.
Zero prenatals. When I was watching this, it almost had that timeless feeling like I get when I watch like Looney Tunes.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? Like, it, for it being a show that is not like super old, it just had that quality to it. And it may have been because of the music, the animation. It's just something about it just seems kind of timeless to me. So I was just into it. Like, that very first segment having no dialogue besides the very end of it. Just with the music and the shaking of the broken light bulb and the imagery that they chose for it was just, like, so expertly done that it I feel like any time I go back and revisit this show, it's going to hold up, which is not always going to be the case for shows that we watch, you know? Even the episode one of SpongeBob was like, yeah, it's a little rough. And it actually takes quite a few seasons for it to get, you know, to a point to where it's like what we remember SpongeBob being. This just seemed timeless from the start.
Yep.
And that's really cool. And I had high expectations going into it just based on like what I remembered from that musical episode when Trish told me what episode we were doing. And then just hearing just that tiny bit of music in the card section,
mm-hmm.
just brought all this flood of stuff back, and it just, it worked, it clicked. I thought it was amazing. Despite me having two very strong drinks, I'm gonna say zero drinks to watch this. It has that timeless quality that I was very surprised. I'm legitimately excited to go back and watch some more of this, particularly Omelette du Fromage, because, you know.
Omelette du Fromage and Dear Brother, I love you very much. Oops, I guess I shouldn't touch.
Yeah,
that one as well. So high marks from everyone. That's.
Mm-hmm. I gotta say, Brian, you definitely sound more like heartsick over this particular cartoon with our review today. Like,
I'm starting to suspect that this cartoon meant a lot more to me than I thought it did.
That's
you
fair.
Know what I mean?
That's fair.
Because I did watch this show a lot. I was a nerdy little kid,
yeah.
And that character maybe spoke to me a little bit. Yeah, I'll agree with that. At the top of the episode, we mentioned that we believe that Dexter's Lab was kind of a safe cartoon.
Yeah.
There is a couple controversial episodes, but even after reading these, it's like, it's not that bad. So I think, all in all, it was a relatively safe cartoon. But there were a couple outliers here. One of them was the Dial M for Monkey segment that we talked about at the top, which was titled Barbecuer. There's actually a spoof on the Silver Surfer, which is another Marvel character, where they call the Silver Spooner, and it was yes, and it was perceived to be a pretty strong stereotype for gay men, which I do have a little bit of a memory of that. Not to make excuses for it, it was 1996, and in the 90s, like, every single TV show, movie had the over-the-top gay character friend, if you remember, that they don't really do anymore because it's a little out of touch.
Will and Grace was pretty much absolutely, like, the epicenter of that nonsense.
Yeah, so I can see how that might be a little, you know, troublesome, but that was it for that. They did actually replace that episode on Cartoon Network because they thought it probably wouldn't be, but they gave that episode to Hanna-Barbera Cartoons, and they actually distributed it on Turner Entertainment, so you could still watch that episode elsewhere. The other episode that had some issues with it... also, apparently in that one, Krunk, which is the Hulk stereotype. Or not stereotype.
Stereotypical.
Knockoff.
Krunk knockoff, that's the word. He appears to be drunk and has a hangover and vomits off camera. Those are the things that they...
We definitely should have watched them, this particular podcast.
There was another episode called Rude Removal in 97, which was an episode where Dexter makes rude clones of both him and Dee Dee, and they both curse at each other quite a bit, but it's all bleeps. But the censors didn't agree with that, so they pulled it. But apparently in October of 2012, the creator of the show asked on a Reddit AMA if they wanted to see the episode, and they overwhelmingly said yes. So they aired it on Adult Swim after that Reddit AMA. So they aired it on that, and then you can find it on YouTube as of January 22nd, 2013. So
I'm definitely going to be Googling that in your Uber to the concert tonight.
For sure, for sure.
The 90s were a weird time.
The 90s were a weird time. You're saying
something about 97. I mean, I would have been, depending on the time of the year, 6 or 7 years old when this is playing. And, like, the idea that I have full memories from that time is just, like, it's just crazy to me that, like, you think about, hey, what are you going to remember from when you're 6 years old? Turns out a lot. Turns out a lot.
It's just kind of locked in there.
Yeah. Yep, I wish I could get rid of it and remember more important facts, but all I do for Fromage is there forever.
Mm-hmm. We'll definitely hit that episode, I think.
Yeah.
It's never going to go away. So, that is Dexter's Lab. I highly recommend it to anyone and everyone. I think it holds up. If you were a fan of old cartoons, you're probably going to like this because it has a bit of that old cartoon feeling to it. My laptop is freaking out today.
Like, chirped at you.
Shh.
It'll be over soon.
It's like Lenny of A Mice of Men.
Oh my God. Look at the rabbit.
Look at the rabbit.
Trisha's just shaking her head. She's seen it all before. I'm sorry, Trish.
So, on the episode of Invader Zim, we all talked to each other about how we would take over the Earth.
Mm-hmm.
And I really, really liked that idea, and it got really dark. So
it didn't get dark. It got specific.
It got very specific from one person in particular.
Who was that, Brian?
You.
Shush. Shush.
So I think for this segment, as we close out the show, we are all going to talk about what would our Dexter's invention be. So if we had our own lab, what would your famous invention be? And how would you keep your idiot sibling out of your lab?
Yikes.
I'm going to go first.
Yep.
So my invention would be, it would be a ray gun, but not just any ray gun. It'd purposely be in your car, plugs into your cigarette lighter for charging. And then what you would use it for is when you're driving, if someone cuts you off or breaks any traffic laws, you shoot it at their car. And what it does is the ray, like, goes into their body and it makes them immediately have the urge to pull over safely and reevaluate their life and life choices for 10 minutes.
Just 10 minutes. That's 10 minutes. All it takes.
Just 10 minutes straight of them just thinking hard about
themselves. And they're terrible to say.
Brian was on the road, there would just be a 10-minute long traffic jam.
No, they got to pull over to a safe space.
If everybody on the street is pulling over,
everybody on the street.
There's a Kroger everywhere. They can find.
But Brian would get where he wanted to go pretty quick. Yeah.
And my system for keeping my siblings out of the lab would be. I'm gonna borrow a page from Zim, and just have an army of lawn gnomes that are gonna keep people out of my lab, because I think it's the most adorable thing in the world to have little lawn gnomes protecting my property. So that's what I would personally do.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Kayla,
I'm trying to think of what invention that I would have. It came to mind more quickly than what it should, and it's kind of along those dark alleys as to how I would hide it from my siblings.
I wouldn't expect any less from you.
So how I would hide it from my siblings is, once they entered the area that's near the entrance of wherever I keep my lab, I would have a speaker of me and a robot of me step out and start talking about the things that I'm interested in, and it would immediately make them walk away and ask no more questions. And in fact, that might actually work on coworkers as well as siblings and a few other people. So
that makes me a little sad, actually.
I think that would be extremely effective. And as far as my invention, the only thing that I can think of is something that would let pet owners immediately know how much of a douchebag they're being when they're not treating their animals correctly. Yeah. Maybe a page out of your book, it beams into their head how they could better take care of their animals and the choices that they could make to make them better pet parents. But other than that, the only other thing that came to my mind is I would really like a way to control the weather, but also I've had a lot of alcohol, so I'm not quite sure which one of those works better.
We're going to go with, making people be better pet owners.
Honestly, though, just give your pets some time. They're amazing. Animals are all amazing. Don't be a douchebag. I'm going to drink my beer. Saya, to you.
Oh, in keeping with classic Dexter's Lab nostalgic thoughts, I think I'm going to go with a ray gun, just like you, except when shot makes the person being shot only say "Omelette du fromage." I feel like that would be pretty useful. And I think that's the same strategy I would use against my brother from keeping him out. just constantly shoot him with the Omelette du fromage ray.
But eventually, I feel like you could make him sterile, but he'd probably be happy if you did that. So.
Yeah, well.
I'm sorry, yeah. Mark.
Are you?
He loves you.
He does.
Trish?
That one's tough. I mean, keeping the siblings out, booby traps.
So, like, injuring your sister.
Bodily harm, booby traps.
Just a straight spike.
Come on, like Indiana Jones style booby traps.
Smashing
I have never found you more sexy.
Jesus. We're in our hotel room, but do you guys want us to give you the room?
Yeah, go to my room. booby traps, cool.
I don't know, maybe like a babblefish, like where international translates.
Oh, that would be badass. Cool.
So somebody else speaks a different language and you hear it as the language you speak?
Yeah.
Babblefish for the jocks that listen to this podcast is from Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy. Mm-hmm, so mm-hmm. It just translates alien languages. Pretty dope. I like that. You're going to injure your sister with booby traps.
Boobies that smash.
Your sister with boobies. And then babblefish, I respect that.
Oh, babble boobies.
I think this was a weird episode.
It's gotten a little weirder.
It did run long, so we apologize.
It's a special. Yeah. So it's special.
Kayla, where can everyone find us, should they choose to find
us? You can find us on all three, Instagram, Twitter, and Facebook, Cartoon Tonic Podcast. We always enjoy the conversation that you guys bring to our social media. I am new at the Twitter thing, so anybody that feels free to come and explain to me how I'm supposed to retweet and keep up conversations, 100% on board for that. We are typically pretty quick with our responses to anybody on social media, provided those social media are working. And we really invite you to come share your art, share your thoughts on those particular cartoons, what episodes that you love the most or the least. That's Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter, Cartoon Tonic. And we also have a Gmail, cartoontonicpodcast@gmail.com. So if there's any hate mail or... Send us your hate mail. Send us your suggestions. Send us what you love about this cast or anything like that that you have to cartoontonicpodcast@gmail.com. I will personally respond and it will be interesting. So those are the ways that you can contact us and interact with us. Brian, you look like concerned that you asked me the question, so I'm gonna hand that back to you.
PayPal us some money, and if you want to send us some hate mail, we will respond to you while drinking.
That's a
thing we'll do.
Because I am 100% on board. We can totally do mail response Sundays where I get beveraged, which is a new way to say that.
God, I'll do it. I'll write some hate mail.
Please like and share and comment, all that fun stuff. It really helps out. I want to thank our guest, Miss Patricia Duchler. Thank you for suggesting the episode because it was incredible.
Yeah. Patricia, you already know that I love you and I'm slightly obsessed with you. I know it makes you uncomfortable, but thank you so much for coming on, for putting up with us.
I am also fond of you.
Yeah.
Well, I would hope so.
Lots of love. Lots of love.
All right, y'all take it easy out there. We're going to go to a rock concert.
Yay, woo! Bayside! Woo!
Bye.
Bye.
All right, thanks for the lessons. Bye-bye.
Oh, now, Dexter, we've only just begun.
In Dexter's lair.
At Cartoon Tonic, we drink responsibly and hope you do too. Thanks for listening.